Thanks for tuning in to our feature story interviews for the Midwest Cattlemen as we look at our January 2025 issue and focus on the virtual fencing feature, A Life Without Fences. Here's our interview with Megan Filbert.
Hello, Megan. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hello.
Hello. And even without the calendar, you remembered me.
I did. I put it on my calendar. So,
thank you. I don't know what was going on, but it just would not let me do what I wanted to do. So,
that's the sign.
And technology is what we're going to be talking about. But before
Great.
We dive into the caller, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself and your ties to the beef cattle production?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So I'm from Iowa, and I have worked with livestock farmers for the past 14 to 15 years. I started my career in cooperative extension. I was a dairy and livestock educator in upstate New York, but then I moved back to my home state of Iowa to work for a nonprofit called Practical Farmers of Iowa. And in my many years working with that organization, I predominantly worked with farmers to get them to graze cover crops. It was all about grazing cover crops and the economics of grazing cover crops.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, integrating livestock into cropping systems. And during my time having those discussions, I probably heard 1,000 times from farmers that I can't graze cover crops because I don't have any fence, or the fence that I do have is in disrepair. And so probably about 8 or 9 years ago, I first heard about the concept of virtual fencing and have had a keen interest ever since. And so that's really what propelled me to work in the virtual fencing industry.
Okay. So virtual fencing industry, was there very much out there for you to really have the interest picked?
No, there wasn't a ton out there. We're ramping up, you know, all companies are ramping up now, but this is a very, very new technology in the United States. And so virtual fencing, I first heard about it in Australia. And then I knew that there was some work going on in Norway and other European countries, and then in New Zealand. And since then, in the last, you know, 3 years or so, each of those companies now has a presence in the United States. Every company is just now commercializing.
Okay, so how does a goat sheep farmer with an MS in animal science and international ag reach beef cattle producers with Norwegian virtual fencing technology? How big of a hurdle has that been?
That's an awesome question. I like how you phrase that. Well, simply the technology is completely life-changing. And so, you know, when I'm working with producers in the upper Midwest who are looking, you know, who understand the principles of soil health and want to either integrate livestock into their row crop operation or just simply add more rotations to their grazing plans and grazing management, that's where we can cue this discussion about this new grazing technology of virtual fencing. Because virtual fencing is... it's life-changing because you can now take your animals to areas that were very, very hard to graze prior because let's say, for example, there's very steep terrain or it's wooded and hard to fence through the woods. But also, you now can unlock new grazing lands that you weren't able to graze prior because they were not fenced. And so, is that just, vast marginal lands? Is that your neighbor's pastures? Or is that are those crop fields with cover crops that could be grazed? There's so many different grazing opportunities around our landscape and our countryside, and even in urban areas, that the reason they're not grazed is because of how tricky they are to fence or how much labor it would take to fence them. And so now with the technology of virtual fencing, that's completely changing the game.
Okay, so how large of a territory do you cover as a liaison for No Fence?
So I am the senior sales manager for the United States, and I cover the entire United States.
Okay. That's a
Yes.
lot of territory, girl.
Yes, it is a large territory. I will say that No Fence's U.S. headquarters is located in Minneapolis, and we have had a pilot program. We had a pilot program start in November 2022, so 2 years ago. And we had 45 farmers from across the United States, but 60% of those were in the upper Midwest.
So
So No
tell
Fence
me
is
again those numbers. You had how many? 45 farmers
40,
across the country.
45 pilot farmers across the US,
Okay.
and 60% of them were in the upper Midwest.
I would have honestly thought there would have been more like out in the open country in the
So, yeah, let me explain something there. So, No Fence, one unique feature of the No Fence system is that the cattle callers communicate to an app on a farmer's phone, a farmer or rancher's phone, through cellular networks. So our system does not come with a base station or a tower. Everything happens through cellular networks, meaning a farmer does need to have decent cell service on their farm or ranch for this technology to work.
Okay. And that would
And
explain why you
whereas,
could do that out there so easily.
exactly, whereas some of the other companies do come with a base station and were specifically made for large rangelands out west where there's no cell phone service. And so because of the inherent difference in the different companies, and we don't make, because No Fence doesn't make a base station, that means we are limited to areas that have cell service. And so the Mountain West of the United States isn't our target market.
So, back to the pilot program, can you kind of define that for me? And are these farmers and ranchers that are being selected by the company, pursued, so to speak, or are they people who are contacting you and wanting a test drive? Are they just early adopters and are pursuing the company because they're ready to try something? How is that set up? Who qualifies, or how do you determine who will be in a pilot program?
Yep, it was a little bit of both of those things. So mostly it was farmers who had heard about virtual fencing or specifically No Fence through word of mouth. Maybe they knew someone in Europe using it because No Fence has been commercial in Europe for about 10 years. And they reached out to No Fence, and we then proceeded to ask them questions specifically regarding their management practices, their operation size, and the cell signal that they get at their farm or ranch. But also, when I started at No Fence, I came in with a robust, knowing a robust network of farmers and ranchers who were interested. And so we pursued our pilots through that network as well. Our pilot program has since we've finished up with our pilot program, and now we are commercially available. And so at this point, so we opened up for commercial sales in June last summer, June 2024. And now, you order collars straight from their website, our website, and they're shipped directly to your door. So, and those farmers, that's mostly all been through either word of mouth or different trade shows, conferences, and presentations that No Fence staff attend and participate in.
Okay. So is it basically then these pilot programs that is kind of over with? So like people, you're not
Yep.
taking like applications for pilot programs any longer. That was just
Nope,
the
we're
testing.
not.
Okay.
That's how we got our start in the
Okay.
country, and now we're open for sales. So we're currently bringing on about 20 to 25 new customers per month.
So, is there any kind of a waiting list?
There is currently no waiting list. We have inventory in stock in the United States, and we ship on a weekly basis.
Okay. Did you, from the pilot programs, did you get feedback with either data on economic, savings or extra expenses or complications with the technology? Did you utilize those pilot programs to really bolster up your knowledge of how it's working in the real world?
Yes, absolutely. That was truly the objective of the pilot program, to garner feedback, just like you mentioned. And we learned quite a bit about different economic ROI, breakdowns in different grazing scenarios. Really, where the most savings occurs is when you're able to tap into grazing new lands, more acres that you were previously not able to graze because they were not fenced. And so when you're luck looking, when you're up against paying for physical fencing versus virtual fencing makes a lot of economic sense. The other areas with it that farmers are reporting that they're saving money on is, one, daily to weekly labor. So it's the labor savings in being able to rotate animals without physically having to be out there to move the fence for them or put up new fence and break down an old fence. So it's the labor savings for rotational grazing and the labor savings in fence maintenance. And another primary area where farmers are reaping benefits is that because they are able to extend their grazing seasons with the use of virtual fencing technology, meaning, when it's October, November in the Midwest, you usually are thinking about, well, I might need to start feeding hay now. Let's bring animals closer to home. But with virtual fencing, because you can go pretty much anywhere, you can now tap into other forage sources. And whether that's, a previously unfenced hillside or valley or the woods or your neighbor's acres, farmers are getting, or cover crops, farmers are getting more months, they're grazing more months out of the year. And what does that mean? That means they're saving money on feeding hay. And a pilot farmer that we just interviewed in Winona, Minnesota, saves $25,000 to $40,000 per year for the last 2 years in hay expenses because he's been able to extend his grazing season through the use of no-fence cattle collars.
That's big.
That's big, yes. That's big.
How many head of cattle is he using the system on?
He is using this on, I believe he has 80 collars, and 60 to 70 were called, 60 to 70 cows were collared when I visited his farm in November.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so you know, a moderate, a smaller sized herd, and he's saving that much money in hay expenses.
So, and one of the customers that I've talked to is Bryce Hunling from Iowa.
Great.
So,
yeah.
How did you connect with him and get him started? And one of the things too I want to bring up as we discuss his operation in particular, it's considerably smaller than the other one, but
yeah.
His challenge, he said his limitations are because he's located on a highway. He uses this more as a rotational grazing within a perimeter, a fenced area, and then another
yep.
area that he can't fence, but he's still a little dependent on those border fences. So let's speak to that and also just your relationship with him and how he got started with no fence.
Absolutely. I'll answer the fencing question first. So virtual fencing was not invented to be a direct replacement for physical perimeter fencing, especially in, you know, high risk, high liability areas that are near heavily trafficked roadways. And so if you are grazing cattle next to the highway, we would always still recommend a physical perimeter. Now, virtual fence absolutely can be a direct replacement for interior cross fencing to better enable, to break up your paddocks into smaller paddock sizes and to better enable rotational grazing. I will say that if you do have virtual fencing and you are still needing to put up a perimeter near a busy road, I think that there's possibility for that perimeter fence to be a little less robust. So maybe instead of five strands of fence or three strands of fence, it could be one or two because you have redundancy built in the system. Now, the other thing to tell you is that there are many, many no-fence customers who are grazing their animals in challenging terrain where never will those livestock see a car and probably not even see another human because they're in the woods or tall grass prairie, just really off the beaten path, grazing in remote locations. No fence was invented to graze goats on mountains, like in forested mountains in Norway. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's no fence at all around there on the mountain already. So, you know, just it's truly up to the producer to assess their risk and liability with the grazing scenario.
Okay.
But in terms of containment, no fence has a 99% containment rate. It absolutely does work to hold animals in. It's just that, depending on the circumstances, if an animal is spooked by predators or, you know, people, or is out of forage and hungry, they'll be willing to take the electrical pulse that the virtual fence gives them. And they will.
Any other kind of electric boundary, if they're spooked, they
that's
can.
Exactly,
Right.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Just, if they're hungry or scared or stressed in another situation, they'd probably go through the fence then too. No fencing solution is flawless. So to Bryce Hundling. I met Bryce through a colleague at Practical Farmers of Iowa, and that colleague who I worked with, she grew up with Bryce. And she said, "You know, I know someone that would be who's pretty keen on this. You should get in touch with them." And I did, and Bryce and I quickly we met shortly after and met in person, and you know, he has a lot of enthusiasm for trying new things and really just being curious and asking lots of questions. And so Bryce, it was perfect timing because we were just starting up our pilot program. So we were able to bring Bryce on into that program, and he got some cattle collars and some sheep and goat collars.
Hey, so was he one of the first cattle experiments, though?
He was in the pilot program for cattle, but our very first cattle users in the United States were Monty Botkins in Cambridge, Illinois.
Can you
And
say that again? Can you tell me his name
yeah,
again?
Monty, MONTE, Botkins, BOTTENS,
Okay.
in Cambridge, Illinois.
Okay.
And Santiago Utsumi, he is a researcher at New Mexico State University, so down in like the Chihuahuan Desert in New Mexico.
I think I'll just stick with the Cambridge, Illinois.
No worries, that's fine.
I'm like, you spelled Monty Botkins, but you didn't bother to spell Santiago what?
Santiago Utsumi, yeah.
So in the US, the first one was Monty Botkins in Cambridge, Illinois.
The
Now,
first cattle user.
was that for beef cattle or for dairy cattle?
Beef.
Oh, great. Okay. Okay. So, to that extent too, I know Bryce said, you know, it was pretty easy, cut and dried to use on the sheep and the goats because of their flocking instincts. Cattle are more prone to wander and isolate themselves, so that presented some challenges. But let's talk about the technology. I think we've already hit on and but how it works and why it can revolutionize the controlled grazing options. What are some of the freedoms that you get that you don't have? We talked already about fencing, labor, cost of that, but anything else that you could add to that that takes that to the next step?
So really the benefits that come with using this technology is a higher quality of life for farmers. And that quality of life is due to your animals being GPS and being able to contain them virtually from an app on your phone. That you could be checking your app 30 times a day if you would like to see where your animals are. So the no fence collars are sending a GPS coordinate to your app for each individual animal every 15 minutes. So you can track their location and their grazing behavior. And so really what I hear from many, many customers is it's the value. This is hard to put a financial dollar sign on, but it's the value of the peace of mind that comes with looking at your animals from your phone at the touch of a fingertip, especially right before you go to bed at night. You can check your animals And you can, potentially get better sleep at night. And the other thing is, first thing when you wake up in the morning, one farmer I recently spoke with said, I am embarrassed to admit that most of my pasture moves are done from bed when I wake up in the morning. It's the first thing I check. And the other piece of that is specifically when there's like very bad weather, it's a snowstorm, and instead of having to go out multiple times per day to check on animals, it's much less than that. Or when there's been a large windstorm or thunderstorm overnight, when you presume fences have blown down, we don't have that concern anymore. And you can check them first thing when the storm passes from the app. And the other pieces of this, like peace of mind and quality of life, is being able to get away from the farm, whether that's going to church, your kid's soccer game, on vacation. It just, helps immensely to be able to have that oversight, like those virtual eyes on your animals when you leave the farm, and you are more peaceful about doing it because of that. And you can be, enjoy yourself a bit more when you're away. One nice feature is that you can share your app with anyone you want, as many people as you want. So that could be your neighbors, your farm operator, your kids, etc. And so that also makes getting away easier, because other people can be checking as well. And or let's say you get to the app first and you see something going on, then you can immediately give your neighbors a call and say, hey, I see something strange here. Can you check the app and then potentially go check on the cows? So every time an animal gets an electrical pulse or escapes, you receive a real-time notification to the app on your phone that that's happening. So you know in real time what's going on. And if your animals do all escape, you'll know it, and they're all GPS, so you know exactly where they end up. So there's no more searching for sometimes days on end for escaped livestock. So that's pretty, farmers have told me it's pretty nice to have that knowledge, and be able to make decisions immediately instead of getting a knock at your door from the sheriff or from your neighbors that the cows are out.
Sounds like a winner. That's the worst call you can
Yeah,
get. So,
it is exactly, especially if you're not at home, right?
right. So, what about the maintenance of the collars, of fitting and charging and all of that?
Yep. Okay. So the collars look like a modern day cowbell. They hang below the neck like a cowbell, and they have metal chains on either side and a rubberized neck band on the top of the neck that attaches the chains. Those collars, they're very easy to put on the animal, but you just need to make sure they're properly fit. So they're not too tight and not too loose. And we, with all of our customers, we go through an onboarding with them, and we have like proper collar fit videos that you can look up in the app, for example. Like we have these help center that can be accessed at any time. Now, regarding the batteries, so there are solar panels on the outside of the collar. Those solar panels are continually charging a rechargeable battery that is inserted into the collar. That rechargeable battery does deplete and needs to be recharged at times. For cattle collars, we say that that battery depletes over the course of 6 to 8 months, and then it needs to be swapped out with a charged up battery. So our recommendation is to purchase one spare battery per every 10 cattle collars. So you always have some charged up spares on hand. And then in the app, every time you press on your collars, you see your full list of active collars and you see where they're at with the battery life. So you'll always know whose battery is depleting and needs to be swapped out. You also receive a notification when a battery is at 10%. So there's a safety feature built in. So the rule of like the takeaway message there is that the solar panel doesn't charge it up and last in perpetuity. So the batteries do have to be swapped out every 6 to 8 months. And that is dependent on the intensity of your grazing management. So the more intense you are managing, so if you're rotating multiple times per day, that is when your animals are going to be interacting with a virtual fence more frequently, which means more audio cues and potentially more electrical pulses, which depletes the battery sooner.
Okay, makes sense.
Yep.
Okay, my fingers are catching up.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, so how about you talked about fitting them and everything, but how practical is no fence for like growing calves, backgrounding cattle? How adaptable
Yes.
size are, the weight of them different for younger livestock or anything like that?
Yeah. So we recommend a collar on cattle at 6 months of age and older.
Okay.
That's a rule of thumb. It totally does depend on the breed. It depends on the behavior of your herd. If you think that your young stock can handle collars sooner than that, that's totally acceptable. But basically, in general, at 6 months, a calf is mature, physically mature enough to wear the collar. The collar is just over 3 pounds. And mentally developed enough to associate the audio cue as a warning to the electrical pulse.
Okay.
And so, yeah, so we recommend all adult animals in a herd wear a collar. So that's everybody 6 months in age of age and older.
So, how long are you recommending that leaving the collars on the mature cattle?
So the collars can be worn year round. It's up to the producer. And I forgot to get to your last question, which was growing, backgrounders and growing animals. So if you know your animals are, yeah, if they're not mature and they're growing and they have virtual fencing on, I would recommend probably running them through a chute on a monthly basis to potentially adjust the collar, to loosen it. And to loosen the collar, it's as simple as it's just you take the metal chains, the chain links. They are essentially locked into a metal bracket on the neck strap. You would pull that chain link out, let another chain link slip through and loosen it up, and then pull it back in to lock it in place. It's a very simple process. But yes, for growing young stock, depending on the season of the, depending on the grazing season, depending on how quickly they're growing, I would just say to be safe, monthly checks
Okay.
for adjustment. Yep.
Okay, and then on to the mature cattle that they can wear it year round. It's just up to
Yep, they can.
the system that
They're
the cattle
rated.
is on.
Exactly. They're rated for cold temperatures down to negative 20 degrees. And I mean, up to like 175 degrees. And even negative 20, even if it gets colder than negative 20 for a week at a time here and there during the harsh winter and they're wearing collars, The collars are still on the neck of around the neck of an animal. They're receiving body heat from the animal. So it's really we're the only fear we have about collars in the cold is if a collar were to fall off during a really cold week of the year and just lay in the snow, that could affect it. But rarely has that happened. I don't know if it ever has. The other thing to mention there is that if a collar does fall off an animal or break off an animal, the neck bands are breakaway straps. They're rated to break if the collar is stuck and applies pressure to the neck band. So if the collar breaks off or falls off, you receive a notification if the collar has detected no movement for 4 hours. So you'll know that, oh, there something's wrong. Either the collar fell off or my cow's in a really dire situation and their GPS, so you go directly to it.
So the collar has thought of everything.
The collar has
Everything
thought
that a
of
cow can do
everything.
to kill itself, it's already thought of
Yep. 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 The
Okay.
collar is also the collar also has an accelerometer in it. It's kind of like a Fitbit for cows. So it's tracking its movements and how quickly or slowly it's making them. And so you're able in your app to look at individual animal activity levels. And so producers have used these activity levels as a proxy for cattle in heat or cattle that may be getting sick and or lame. So there's some features built in like that, some health features.
Okay, so what is the cost per animal for the
Yep.
physical and digital components?
Yep. So the collars, the cattle collars per animal are $289 each. That is the cost for the collar. A producer purchases the collar and they own it. It's not a leasing model. And then there's also a cost for the subscription to the app. And that subscription costs anywhere between $3 to $4.50 per caller per month. And at 50 callers and above is when we offer a volume discount. And that's when that subscription drops down to $3 per caller per month. So 36 per year. And the reason that our subscription is monthly is because you can turn them on and turn them off during certain months of the year. So if you are not using your collars in the winter, for example, you will not pay for them during the winter. You only pay for what you use.
So, are you seeing this being cost prohibitive for larger producers? Is it more practical for, a 20 to 40 head, or does it become more affordable if you have the larger herd to kind of distribute, like especially that monthly cost?
Well, what we're seeing is that because our minimum caller order number is five, we really do serve like small to medium sized producers. And what we're seeing is that if you just have, let's say, 20 to 30 head, people start to say they can wrap their head around the cost. But when it's, 100 plus, that's when that's really when the cost scale and add up, and it could become cost prohibitive in either scenario, truly. It just totally depends on the context. And so, like I had said, if virtual fencing is going to allow you to increase your number of paddocks and rotational grazing, with You were with less fence infrastructure and less labor, where you could potentially, save on having to hire someone and also save on your winter feed expenses. You have to do that math for your context. So it certainly starts to make economic sense when you want to unlock grazing areas that are unfenced and previously not been grazed. And if you're looking at physical fence expenses, which some people tell me ranges from $15,000 to $30,000 per mile, then you can really start to compare the costs of both systems. Because virtual fencing, not only are you going to be able to fence that 100 acres that you're interested in fencing, you're unlocking unlimited amounts of acres into the future with more and more grazing opportunities with the same collar. So that makes your cost per acre look extremely good. But when it boils down to it, when it boils down to it, so our collars have a lifespan of 5 years and also a warranty of 5 years. And if you were to take the cost across 5 years, the system costs anywhere from $95 to $110 per cow per year for 5 years. And that range, the 95 to 110, that range is simply due to the difference in the subscription cost if you're 50 collars and above or below. Yep.
Okay, so let's see. I think I'm skipping through some questions because you've done such an awesome job of already answering them.
Great.
How about when intentional grazing first started to take off, even solar powered fences? Change is hard in the farming and ranching industry. You know that probably very well. And there's always pushback against innovation. Are you seeing, though, this technology trending to quicker implementation, or is there that same old-fashioned pushback against it like there was against other new trends?
That's a wonderful question, Brenda. And honestly, I think I can make the argument for seeing both sides of it. So certainly, like traditional management is a obstacle for adoption of virtual fencing. Just, we've always done it this way. It works for us. That's going to be the case for implementing any new anything on a cattle farm. And so I think that since still everyone that is adopting virtual fence right now, they're considered early adopters. We have not reached that tipping point in our country yet of adoption. It will be so incredibly interesting when we get closer to that tipping point where, you're learning, you see it. It reminds me of people planting cover crops, right? It used to be like, no, not for me. It was like one in every 10 farmers, and now it's like every other farmer, potentially, in some places, because they see that it's working for their neighbors. And so once, there's more virtual fence on more farms and they start seeing it work for their neighbors, they're going to be very curious. I will also say on the inverse of that, I would say that the average age of the virtual fence user for no-fence is like in their 40s. Whereas if you compare that to the average age of a farmer, right, which is like 57, 59, 60 years old, it is younger. And I'm making this point because being able to use technology and use a very intuitive, user-friendly app on your phone is extremely attractive to what I'm going to call the next generation of livestock producers. Like the next generation on the farm that might take over the farmer ranch to younger people. And so I think that and we know that there's we need more younger people in agriculture in general, but to raise livestock. With the farm crisis of the 80s, many up and coming children during that time didn't pursue farming, right? They moved to the city and they moved away. And then we effectively lost a generation of potential farmers. And I think that virtual fencing actually provides a very attractive form of management to get young people back into agriculture or potentially more interested in taking over their family's farm. So I
That
think
makes
that
sense.
we could
Yeah.
see, I think we really could see that happen with this new, very easy to use, attractive, and effective technology.
And what kind of technology did you say there at the end?
I just said this new attractive and effective technology.
Effective, okay.
Effective, yeah. Like virtual fence works and it's actually fun to use and easy to use, right? So it's like sexy. And people, you don't have to necessarily say that, but like people, that's what's going to get the younger generation to say, sure, I'd love to be, I'm interested in helping out in the farm. But if you handed them a spool of fencing and said, here, help me for the next 3 hours, tap in posts and put the fence up, that's a little harder of a sell.
I can tell you've put built fence.
Yeah, I spent many, many, many hours dragging fence through the woods prior to getting virtual fence.
Oh, great. You're fun to visit with.
Great.
So,
And can I just make a quick point about, I don't want to tell the story of virtual fencing and have someone think that this is a replacement for farmers on the land or a replacement for a producer to spend time with his cattle. It's truly meant to not replace farmers, but it's meant to aid farmers. And it's meant to provide a technology that improves animal welfare, improves the health of our landscape. We can now truly graze for more with an eye towards soil health and increase those rotations without having to expend the labor. And it's increasing the quality of farmers' lives.
That makes a lot of sense. So, do you have any projections how fast you think this is going to grow or take off in the next 3 to 5 years?
I saw some sort of market report on virtual fencing, and I think it said that virtual fencing is going to be a $15 billion industry by 2030.
Wow.
And that's only 5 years away now. So I don't know if you should quote me on that. But I did. I saw some sort of market report. And so it is. So, okay, one thing I can tell you is that we started in Norway. Nofence was founded in Norway in 2011. It is now 20, almost 2025. And in Norway, no, it's a small country of only 5 million people, but Nofence is a household name. Everyone's either using Nofence or their cousin's brother-in-law is, like, Everyone knows someone that is using it or is using it themselves. And you can't go anywhere in Norway without seeing sheep, goat, or cow with a no fence on. And so it's almost like market saturation is happening in this country where it started. And it's going to take a lot to get to that point in the United States, but it's absolutely, I believe, in the next, I mean, I'm talking over the next 50 years, but truly in the next 3 to 5 years, we will see hundreds of thousands of more collars in operation and cattle with virtual fencing in our country.
Okay. So
Yeah.
anything I haven't asked you about that's you think is pretty critical to, addressing our readers and podcast audience to just know more about your product?
Yeah, so what I would love for if people are interested, they can visit our website. So that's nofence.no, which stands for Norway. And you can choose your country, so choose United States, and right there on the website, you're then able to fill out a short questionnaire. It takes 2 to 3 minutes, and it leads you to a quote, and then we then get that inquiry and give you a phone call to talk through the system over the phone. And we'll talk about cell phone connectivity. We'll talk about how your grazing management and go from there to see if, because we want to make sure that our customers are very satisfied and happy customers. And if we believe our product is not perfectly suited for you, we will tell you that. And so, yeah, that's kind of the next step, visiting the website, and there's
So
steps to follow there.
I presume that they would be talking to you if they're
They
from the
will.
US.
So, yep, exactly. So everybody goes through me at this point, but luckily we are hiring right now for 3 to 4 more salespeople, which is wonderful as we grow, because we're officially launching in the US as of in the first of 2025, which when I say officially launching, that means a marketing campaign, advertising, etc. Things that we haven't done yet. Right now it's just been truly word of mouth and our presence at some conferences and shows. And so we're going to have a more robust team in 2025, because we'll be rapidly growing.